I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Hospice professionals are just like you and me. They need to feel validated in their work. And I can only imagine that they're smiling today, as a nationally recognized study has confirmed what they have learned through firsthand experience, that the interdisciplinary care they provide to patients and family caregivers coping with life-limiting illness significantly improves quality of life and allows people to focus on living as fully as possible, even as life draws to a close. I know our next guest shares the passion of these hospice professionals. He is Donald Schumacher, President and CEO of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Don, thanks so much for joining us today on Body Language.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Don, this is great, and I'm sure for you, gratifying news now that the broader healthcare community, regulators, and legislators all understand more fully the many benefits of hospice care.
You know, Chris, that's a fabulous statement, and I loved your introduction. The fact is that pretty much the government recognizes, I think, that hospices are doing the right thing. But there's always the question that comes up, are we really saving the system any money? Maybe it's the right care for the right patient, which I happen to believe that it is, when somebody is facing the end of their lives. But are there really some reduced costs that come out of this? And this study is the second study that shows that hospice care, the Medicare hospice benefit, saves the government a considerable amount of money.
Well, this new research was published in the latest issue of Health Affairs magazine.
Correct.
And found that hospice enrollment, as you say, saves money for Medicare and improves care quality for Medicare beneficiaries with a number of different lengths of services. What do they mean by that?
Well, they tested the different periods of time, 1 to 7 days, 8 to 14 days, 15 to 30 days, and then 53 to 105. They were just trying to test during that course of four different time periods, is there any change in the care that gets provided, the quality of the care, or patient and family satisfaction? And so, in fact, I think that it reduced substantial time in the hospital. It kept more and more patients at home. People reported that they were feeling pain and symptom management was better managed once hospice got involved. Just overall sense that the reduction of the cost in the hospital system and the fact that the patient can be where they really want to be anyhow, which is at home, was an absolutely huge, huge reinforcement for all the things that we've been doing.
Well, the study also reveals that savings to Medicare are present for both cancer patients and non-cancer patients, which
That's
is
correct.
Really quite interesting. In fact, moreover, these savings appear to grow as the period of hospice enrollment lengthens with the observed study period of 1 to 105 days. Now, I realize you have always contended that generally or typically people do not take advantage of hospice soon enough. Is that the case?
That is correct. Approximately 66% of all patients that receive hospice care come into the hospice benefit and die within 30 days.
Now, ideally, and I realize that every patient case is different, how would you like to change that paradigm?
I this is a 6 month or less benefit if the disease follows its natural course. And I would prefer, would love it if we had patients that were coming in and being served by hospice, not so much in a more or a longer length of time, but a length of time that would allow them to have the opportunity to close their business, to say goodbye, to sort of finish their life's work. And what seems to happen is that people come in and they're with us for such a short period of time that many of the things that need to get tended to aren't really able to be done because they're only there for a little while. I have seen, you know, all kinds of suggested time frames. My suggestion is always, rather than focus on the length of the time, even though we'd like them to be in a little bit longer, let's focus on the work and the business that has to get done. So that will vary. Some people will come in and their business will be done in a week. Some people will take 4 or 6 months for it to be completed.
Our guest is Donald Schumacher, President and CEO of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Don, how can people learn more about your work and the NHPCO?
Chris, they can go to our website, which is nhpco.org, and log on and have a lot of things to read there, a lot of information about end-of-life care hospice and the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, and things like, very important things like advanced directives, something that every American really should have done for themselves.
And people can also go to caringinfo.org. That's CARING info.org. org.
Correct.
You have said that we know that hospice addresses so many critical issues involving quality of care at the end of life, and that hospice brings dignity and compassion when they are needed most. I think people who've had both experiences, as I have watching parents die, would, oh boy, I sure agree with that.
Well, it's a very hard process, and it's always sad, but it's not always hopeless, and people can get a great deal of comfort and satisfaction out of being with each other. And as I said probably on this show before, it's so critical that people have very good pain and symptom management right at the very entry into the hospice program, so that they can being relieved of pain can really go about the business of ending their tasks. And it's quite important that the families include in that process as well.
Your organization, the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization,
correct,
reports that more than 44% of dying Americans were cared for by hospice in 2011. What basis of comparison would we have to previous years or perhaps a previous decade?
It goes up a little bit every year.
Ah.
That was 2011. 2010, it was about 1.590. It continues to go up somewhere between 1 and 300,000 pretty much every year for the last 4 or 5 years.
Right. The study authors also suggested that the investment in the Medicare hospice benefits, and we're getting back to economics here,
right,
translates into savings overall for the Medicare system. If 1,000 additional beneficiaries enrolled in hospice 15 to 30 days prior to death, Medicare would save an additional $6.5 million.
Right.
Many of these decisions are made on the basis of economics, but also, as you suggested, doing the right thing for individuals and their families. So when people do die, the memory is very positive and very upbeat. That's really crucial, isn't it?
It really is. You know, so many people, before I had this job, I've run two different hospice programs in my professional life. And one of the big sadnesses that people always used to come to me and say after a death had occurred is that we didn't have enough time together to say goodbye. No one told us mother was dying. There was not a chance for us to complete our work together. And in hospice's best way, we're able to bring a lot of those conversations, very effective conversations, to the bedside so that people can be with each other. And I've always thought about hospice as an opportunity to help people say goodbye.
Right.
So it is, as you say, cost effective, the right thing to be done. And in reality, when all of us will face our own deaths, it's something that you want to have in your back pocket that you can call on.
Well, the time to have the conversation about hospice and, of course, advanced directives, too, is much sooner than later when people are fairly clear-eyed and calm. You're certainly an advocate of that kind of pre-planning, aren't you?
I am. And let me ask you, do you have your advanced directive filled out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact...
Very good. That's the message I'd love to get. Now, I always do this thing when I give a lot of speeches. I ask the audience, how many of you filled out your advanced directives? And about half of them usually put their hand up, and then I'll say, how many of you are lying to me? And about another quarter of that half might put their hand up a little bit, and they laugh, because people know it's a very, very hard thing to do.
Well, every member of my family has a copy of the advance directive. I'm a big fan of Kinko's, and I made a lot of copies just in case wherever I am, someone will be able to put their hands on that advance directive, and if necessary, send a copy to an institution. You know, for example, if I have an accident on the road or something, I mean, that could be very valuable.
I always ask people to really consider not waiting too long to have the conversation before a tragedy or a difficulty happens in your life. So I encourage everybody listening to make sure you have those conversations early.
Our guest has been Donald Schumacher, President and CEO of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Once again, that website is caringinfo.org. That's caringinfo.org. Thank you very much, Don, for joining us today on Body Language on Radio MD.